Okay, good morning. We're going to start our CE hour. I have a little bit of, I thought I had my laptop here. It's not. So we're going to have to work without that and probably simplify a few things to get the job done today. Let's open up in prayer. I'll let you know what we're doing and a little bit of our plan here for the rest of CE hour through this season. And we'll go from there. Father, thank you for the time to study together and to reflect on your truth. I ask, Lord, that you would bless this time as we look at man's response to the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us as we wrestle through some things and have certain questions, and bless our discussion, and may these discussions further study into your word and dependence upon you, and help and equip us to be able to share the gospel of Christ. Help us not to be ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also for the Greek. We're thankful for that truth of your great heart to save mankind. And we're thankful that you will have those from every tribe, every nation, every kindred, and every tongue represented around your throne in worship of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's in his name we pray. Amen. What I'm going to start out with briefly, and I apologize, we got started a little late. I didn't want to do that today, especially. So I'm going to simplify this a little bit. I do want us to continue to work on the gospel presentation, okay? And there's a diagram that we've kind of come up with, and I'd like you to try to learn that, not because it's how you are going to do it, at least in its fullness, but it'll help you think through it and realize how you want to do it, and somehow how these things can be helpful. For the sake of time, I want you to try to you know, flip over your page and write this down again, this diagram. As I'm not going to give all the verses. I'm not going to fill this out today. But I just want to rewrite the diagram and know we're going to then practice this and keep refining this in the next few weeks as we talk about how to share the faith. Now, we're also going to have, Matt Gass will be here in December, Matt and Laura Gass from Tanzania. I'm excited to hear from them during the CE hour. Pastor Dan will be doing some Doctrine for Life. I've got two that I want to do about how to walk into a church. Sounds silly. You'll have to wait and see what I mean by that. But that I want two of those. And then we want to finish up what we're doing with this evangelism series. And then we'll get a fresh start and as of January and some new things, specifically on the topic of apologetics and its connection to evangelism. Okay? So, all right. So the gospel starts with... What are the four components of the gospel, right? The bad news and the good news. So the bad news is God and his justice and man and his sin. The good news is Christ and the gospel, and then our response to that. It's good news that we don't have to do anything. That's great news. So even the response is part of that good news, that Jesus did it all. So bad news and good news, the character of God and man and his sin, the God truth of the gospel and of Christ and our response. Now, so we started here talking about God as the creator in the diagram, and just have the diagram down. This is the latest updated diagram for you to have down. We talk about the God. We use a triangle because God is a Trinity. We talk about God as a creator, and he created mankind good in fellowship with him. But something, of course, is dreadfully wrong. But man was initially in fellowship with God in the garden. But the reality is, looking around us and at this world, is that we have a world that is far from God and is broken beyond imagination. And so we've got sinners here that are broken and bent and are thinking about themselves and serving themselves. And we talk about the problem of man's heart and his love for himself, wanting to serve himself, just putting God on the shelf and not obeying his word like Adam and Eve did, and where we define that as sin. And then we began to talk about sin being the violation of God's commands, and summarized the law and went after the law defining sin, and how sin, and we put double arrows here, has separated us from God. And so we put the words, I like to put the word separation here, and then defining that death is separation, talking about physical death, that's a separation of body and soul, and talking about spiritual death, which begins, you know, when everyone's born because of sin, but then ultimately the second death, separation in the lake of fire, in Gehenna, in hell itself. And so we talked about that. Now, there's a big problem we have, and mankind's broken. They try all kinds of different things to fix themselves and to cover up that thing. Maybe they'll try drugs and addictions, or they'll try entertainment, they'll try money and power. There's all kinds of things that people do, and those are the things, again, God's over there. They're doing their own thing, trying to figure it out. Now, some people are super spiritual and attempt to actually have God in view, and so they put religion and works, and they try to impress God and try to give him something to accept, please take me back, accept, and so they try to fix this gap. Now, some people try to just, you know, hide it and just live their life. I can't hear you. I can't. You just don't. Nope. I don't want anything to do with it. Some people try to get back to God by their own efforts, and it just doesn't work. And we talk about God's, but so we have this situation that we're in here, where God and man are broken. Okay, and there's nothing we can do about it. All this will not help. We cannot. No one. And we talk about all have sinned. We talk about separate wages of sin is death. And if you violate one law, you're guilty of all of it. The impossibility of fixing this is essential to underline in the flesh. But God himself decided that he was going to send his own son to fix it. That's the good news of the gospel. And so we speak about from God. So the arrow is coming from God. God sent his son into the darkness. Okay, and we talk about he came, and that's Christmas, and he... the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, the very Son of God, took upon flesh and dwelt among us. And lived for 33 years inwardly perfect. Every thought, every motivation, every intention of his heart was always to do the will of his Father. He did it perfectly, and he did it in our place. So he lived that perfect life coming down. But he also died the death that we deserve upon the cross. So we talk about the cross, and while he's hanging on the cross, we talk about in his own body, he took the wages of our sin upon himself. He paid the penalty that was due us in our place as our substitute. And in 6 hours, as the God-man, he could actually consume and fulfill and obliterate the wrath of God in our place. Finish it. So that Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. And he spoke of the penalty of your sin, and even his cross purchased the power and the very presence of God for those for whom he died. And so then he proved that it was finished by rising from the dead, and God vindicated that our sins were gone, death could no longer hold him, and that's his resurrection, said that he actually has the authority now and the right, having finished it and proven that it's finished, to offer life to those who would come to him. Okay, so this is Jesus, and he's our Savior. Now, how does this work for us? How can we get back to God? Well, we need to turn from our sin, from ourselves, and trust in the work of Jesus alone. Turn and trust. and we see that our sins are horrible and that we are sinners. We see that even our best works, and we put those things in a pile, both of them, put them in a pile and saying, that's not going to help me, and we're turning to Jesus. He alone can help me, and saying, I need him. I need him and him alone and his work. Turning and trusting Jesus Christ. When that happens, when we turn and trust in Jesus Christ, he makes us a new creation in Christ Jesus. He gives us a new heart, and we trust him, and we can then get back into relationship with you to God only through the cross. And so you can draw an arrow through the cross back to God. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me, except through his death and resurrection. We cannot come. But when we do come, he gives us a new heart. He forgives us our sin. He clothes us in our unrighteousness. In fact, we have sin over our head, like a black dot. But he made him who knew no sin, God made Jesus who knew no sin to be sin in our on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God. So through faith alone, look at this, the black sin is gone, and we are given declaration that you're 100% righteous in Christ. Okay, and so now we're walking, and we're pursuing God now. We now love him, and this is a little bit, we're now following him and learning from him. That's what it means to be his disciple, to follow him and learn from him, because he's not only Savior of our life, but we love him and he's Lord of our life. And so we're following him and we're following him with other people who have been redeemed as well, and we're actually in the community called the church. And one day, the position that we have is 100% righteous and forgiven in Christ, that's going to match who we actually are, and he's going to change us and transform us more and more into his image. And so one day, you know what? We're going to be in heaven, back in perfect fellowship, clothed in Christ's righteousness, with God forever in the new heavens and the new earth. Now, I didn't put all the verses in, but I wanted to get the diagram up so that you can write it down and see that. You can say this in 30 seconds with this diagram. You can take all kinds of time at the beginning and all the way through and have verses that we've used through this. And when we go through the next 4 weeks, I'm going to just kind of rewrite this over and over again. I'm going to even have you practice writing it. And so you have this memorized. By the time Christmas comes, you have it memorized. And what you're going to have is it memorized, and then you're going to have the script that we finally came with. You'll have it. Now I'm going to give 4 pages, all the brainstorming we did in 4 sessions, the verses people like, the illustrations people like, all that discussion. Ursula is going to help me get that on 4 sheets of paper. So in your hands are going to be the diagram, the script that we came up with, and these 4 sheets. Take it and use it as a tool, make it your own, and go and do likewise. Share this gospel, and hopefully it'll be a help to you. That's where we're going. That's what we're doing. Okay, now we've kind of brainstormed who is God. We have brainstormed who is man. We have brainstormed the gospel of Jesus Christ last time. Now we're going to brainstorm the response today. Okay, so let's do that. You have a handout. I hope that you wrote this down, because it's going bye-bye. If you want to take notes just for fun, I'm going to have to take notes and take a picture, because this needs to become something that I can give you in a sheet of paper here eventually. So we'll do it this route. It's a very unsettling thing when you look into your bag where your laptop is supposed to be and it's not there. So forgive me if I feel a little unsettled right now. It's kind of in the back of my mind. All right. So let's talk now. Then, I can find my notes, about man's response to the gospel. Okay? What I want us to do now, and this is for you to do, is to brainstorm with me on, number one, the essential elements of our response. Essential elements. Okay. In other words, for man to be connected and united to Christ and have that great salvation, that he accomplished be applied to him or to her, how? What is the mechanism where that takes place? Okay, brainstorm. I can see hands.
Well, I think you have to recognize that you need a savior. I think there has to be that recognition.
Rick? I need an official speller up here to help me. Okay, good, Kim. I agree.
I'd say repent. I think
okay. And you know the way I did it, and you can call them either one. Good. Keep going. Okay. What else? What are some of the other things that are important to have in your mind? It's not necessarily that you're going to share every time.
Prayer?
Well, people don't need to pray a certain prayer. They will pray, cry out to the Lord in prayer, but there isn't a canned prayer. But yeah, they will have to. They're going to have to trust, which might look like a prayer. I mean, the Pharisee, the tax collector in Luke 18, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I mean, he was undone. Phil?
I mean, in your diagram, right, you have really before salvation, and then you have the obedience afterwards. And so, on the other side, you know, after your salvation has occurred, you've been justified, if you will.
Yeah.
And I think you need to be baptized. You need to be walking in obedience.
Okay, so this is important that baptism doesn't save you. Baptism doesn't cause regeneration. The whole of the book of John argued against that, externalism. The whole of the book of John was about water, and the whole of the book of John argued against that. It was all, right, symbolic cleansing, which baptism becomes a symbol of the inward real cleansing of the Spirit through faith alone, right? So yeah, but once you're on the side, you've passed out of death to life. You've got to, and this is part of what I want to, what I think we need to put here too, guys. Part of the thing that this looks like here is this is a response of man to God, but it's a response that's not just the what? It's not just the mind. This response includes the heart, you know, the wanter, you know, and those influence your what you love, what you desire, and the truth in the mind. Those affect the will, so that you might freely choose. The bottom line is, we dare not in man's response, some sort of, you know, start doing that jobby. We dare not. And I think however that is expressed, what verses we use is not, you know, at least for right now. So I like to put that here because it bridges a little bit these domains. So that's just, our response includes the mind, emotions, and will. Someone over, Bob.
Just a question. Is the logical order repent? We always say repent and believe, right?
Let's get to that in a second, because that's a question that we're going to get to that in the question section. Do we trust and then turn, or turn and then trust?
Then where's regeneration in there?
Okay, so another essential element. See, don't you ever get confused in life?
Yeah.
It's just so simple, right? Straightforward. Everything's so easy. No, Jesus' approach with Nicodemus was, hey, buddy, you must be born again. Well, then guess what he came to next? Belief in John 3. Very clearly, the two are connected together. How they're connected together has been the debate among theologians for 2,000 years. But at the end of the day, I do think it's an important... and so one of the essential elements that you need to think about is the reality of mind, heart, and will, but that ties into this whole thing. Now, again, these are connected.